Today, I'd like to welcome to the PodMD studio Dr. Rosemary Clancy. Rosemary is a sleep specialist clinical psychologist at Sydney Sleep Centre. She focuses on evidence-based sleep treatments and associated mood, anxiety, and substance use disorders. She completed a master's degree in clinical psychology at Adelaide University, then worked as an SWSAHS clinical psychologist, then senior clinical psychologist at Sydney Clinic. From 2014, she has been the specialist sleep psychologist at Sydney Sleep Centre and the director of letsleephappen.com.au. Today, we'll be discussing the topic of why am I so tired? One of the most Googled phrases. This podcast is brought to you by DPM Financial Services. DPM is a specialist medical financial advice firm that aims to empower doctors of Australia to make the right financial decisions and achieve their financial goals. We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about a given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in that area. Rosemary, thanks for talking with us on PodMD today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The topic of today's discussion is the phrase, why am I so tired? Rosemary, can you first give us a brief overview about this saying?
So, why am I so tired is just such a common complaint that is one of the most Googled phrases. If you just plug in why am I, it'll probably autocomplete with so tired. So fatigue and tiredness are a very common complaint related to sleep difficulties, and that comprises all those feelings of low energy, feeling debilitated, groggy, unfocused, feeling unable to concentrate, feeling heavy, low muscle tone or responsiveness, even heavy eyelids. So, you know, fatigued, some people describe sandpaper behind their eyelids, and this feeling of general malaise, I suppose, that they readily attribute to whatever happened with their sleep the night before. And they may be monitoring this from as soon as they wake, possibly all the way through the day, potentially, and recalling the night's sleep or features of it or wakefulness. Or they may have this from the moment they wake to when they have a shower and feel a bit more refreshed, or when they have a coffee, or until about 11 a.m. or, you know, getting towards lunchtime, where it starts to resolve or dissipate. So this feeling of fatigue and tiredness, it does bear similarities to the sort of the post-viral fatigue or the fatigue that people would describe with chronic fatigue syndrome and or Ross River virus or Q fever or Epstein-Barr virus, and it shares behavioural features as well. So people start to conserve energy, they start to do less, they may feel they're very sluggish and it's hard to actually get motivated to move around and do anything or collect their thoughts and do something. So it's both physiological as well as attentional and cognitive. And an emotional state too. And it's found with both sleep deprivation, so you'd see it in shift workers, the sleep deprivation found in obstructive sleep apnea because of that the respiratory disorders of sleep, and also in insomnia sufferers. So very common feature of sleep complaints. And just while we're talking, it's worth noting the difference between sleep deprivation and insomnia is that sleep deprivation is the ability to sleep but not enough opportunity, while insomnia is plenty of opportunity to sleep but seemingly lost ability. It's worth, you know, thinking about the differences there, because the classic insomnia picture is tired and wired, but the classic OSA picture would be more likely involuntary sleepiness or hypersomnia during the day, and productivity is more difficult because of the involuntary excessive sleepiness during the day. So the people with obstructive sleep apnea are both tired and excessively sleepy during the day.
Can you outline the difference between being tired versus being sleepy and why it matters?
And the illustration of the classic insomnia picture versus, say, obstructive sleep apnea, where someone is both tired and excessively sleepy, is pretty readily acknowledged and recognised by people with insomnia, because even if they tried to nap during the day, even if they tried to get some daytime sleep in order to assuage that tiredness, they would find it very difficult to fall asleep. And people are really struck by how difficult it is to feel both tired and exhausted mentally and physically and even emotionally, but unable to dissipate that with sleep or re-energize with sleep. Now, the reason it matters to differentiate between being tired and sleepy is because it worsens insomnia if people conflate the two, tired and sleepy, because it leads to safety-seeking behavior or behaviors or actions that inadvertently make the insomnia worse, right? And create more tiredness and more attention to tiredness and more feelings of despair and anxiety and more hypervigilance about the threat of tiredness and sleeplessness. So the difficulty is that the person with insomnia may not get the appropriate medical and psychiatric help needed if that tiredness and low energy or fatigue are caused by a serious medical or psychiatric issue. So people's line of thought tends to be, in conflating it, the tiredness and sleepiness, is that if I'm tired, then it must mean that I'm sleep deprived and therefore I need more sleep. So in order to get more sleep, I'll then spend more time in bed, which is the safety-seeking behaviour in insomnia that backfires, right? And the next thought that goes on from that is, if I can fix my sleep, then I will fix my tiredness. So there's this 100% focus on fixing sleep by trying to get more sleep and thereby engage in what we call safety-seeking or overprotective sleep behaviours that are designed to try and get more sleep but backfire and create more hypervigilance and performance anxiety about sleep.
Can you explain the physiological causes of tiredness?
So the physiological causes of tiredness are many, and this is where the importance of the GP can't be understated, because the GP is the hub of any referrals to assess these medical reasons for tiredness. And so I know there are a number of websites like Mayo Clinic or WebMD that every now and then have these "Why Am I So Tired?" slideshows, and they will list some of the many causes, physiological causes of tiredness. So there could be any gut or allergy issues that could explain the tiredness, any blood disorders, lung, asthma. Anything related to respiratory disorders will have some sort of correlate of tiredness and fatigue. So blood sugar levels in diabetes, again, highly correlated with tiredness and fatigue. Viral and post-viral fatigue, we were just talking about earlier, if you have Epstein-Barr virus or virus or Ross River virus, then we're talking about a prolonged period of fatigue and malaise after these viruses are contracted. And now increasingly Lyme disease, it seems, are tick-borne viruses. So autoimmune issues as a reason for tiredness. I've seen for insomnia as well, people with multiple sclerosis who have really debilitating fatigue and then on top of that, insomnia. So pain, chronic pain is a reason for tiredness and fatigue, especially if it's exacerbated by opiate or analgesic medications, as you know, with tired, you know, fatigue is a side effect, or tiredness. Premenstrual syndrome is a reason for tiredness and fatigue. Menopause, another reason for tiredness that women in midlife might not have experienced before, but suddenly are experiencing from perimenopause. Attentional deficit disorders are a reason for tiredness. And then stimulants for short-term energy, but also tiredness in relation to sleep loss or sleep disturbance as a follow-on effect. Sleep deprivation is a reason for tiredness, but so is oversleeping. So there are many physiological causes of tiredness. The most important ones that really need to be medically assessed are the ones at the start of the list that I mentioned, and the GP will assist with that.
Can you explain the psychological causes of tiredness?
Yes, the psychological causes of tiredness are very prominently low mood and major depression, right? One of the key causes of tiredness, and such that, you know, let's remind ourselves that previous iterations of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Social Sciences was, or the DSM series, were about primary depression and secondary insomnia. So even if you were suffering primary insomnia traditionally when you went to a GP, the GP had a good basis diagnostically for checking your mood scoring first, right? So doing some sort of screen for mood to see if major depression could account for the insomnia. It's only now with DSM-5 that you can finally see primary insomnia, both adults and primary childhood insomnia. So it shows us just how clearly that link is between depression, and insomnia and tiredness. So chronic low mood is a key reason for fatigue, emotional, physiological, and mental, or you know, muscular tiredness, and this general feeling of fatigue. Chronic stress is a reason, a psychological reason for tiredness, and just both chronic and acute anxiety. So people will often describe after they've had a panic episode that they're feeling extremely exhausted in the hours thereafter. And it makes sense, really, when you see how much energy is expended in that sympathetic activation, in that fight or flight process to try to galvanize the person system-wide and immediately to get away from danger, that it's expending a great deal of energy there. This flow of threat hormones, adrenaline, is causing such a rapid change in the body's organs. So increased heart rate, increased respiration, increased blood pressure, increased core body temperature, increased muscle tension, all of this is expending a great deal of energy. And with the understandable consequence that the person is going to feel tired afterwards. So, you know, so there we have a clear link with acute anxiety, but also chronic anxiety. If someone has chronic worry and rumination, which is also potentially linked to major depression, then you can see just how debilitating that is, that they're constantly on and off throughout the day and the night, such that it disrupts their sleep as well, in worry and rumination cycles, and feeling unable to resolve that. and all of the complicated emotions that go with that. So it is, you can see mentally and physically, very fatiguing to be in chronic anxiety. Chronic pain is both physiological and a psychological cause of exhaustion and fatigue. It's just not only it's distressing, it's depressing and fatiguing to be in chronic pain and feel despair and helplessness and a lack of agency in being able to resolve that. So people quite easily recognise the clear links between these psychological disorders and tiredness and fatigue.
What are some treatment options available for a patient experiencing tiredness?
So if it's more than just intermittent tiredness after a poor night or after, a big night out, say, because we've got to also factor in that, hangover is a reason for fatigue substance use is a reason for fatigue as well. But if it's not easily explained by some sleep-disrupting activity, if we're talking about a chronic experience of tiredness, then it's important to get to the GP to start the assessment process for medical or potentially psychiatric causes. So if there is evidence for respiratory disorders of sleep, so the person is snoring and gasping and there's cessation of breathing during their sleep that their partner could hear, then it's very important to start the process of getting to the GP and get a referral to a sleep clinic like Sydney Sleep Centre to get a full workup, get a sleep study done, and then get a sleep physician's advice, potential CPAP help, and if needed, a psychological sleep intervention if there is comorbid insomnia or what we call COMISA. So that is comorbid obstructive sleep apnea and comorbid and insomnia. So the starting point is the GP. The GP is the hub for all these necessary referrals to investigate the tiredness causes. Another reason to seek your GP's assistance is hitting midlife for women and perimenopause and menopause. As I said before, tiredness is such a common feature of perimenopause and menopause. The GP can direct the appropriate treatment, hormone replacement therapy, oversight, if need be, see an endocrinologist if there's been increased weight gain that's concerning both the GP and the patient. And if there is tiredness related to sleep disruption as a result of, say, hot flushes during the night, then the GP can work with both the HRT provider as well as a sleep psychologist to work on an insomnia around an increasing fears and hypervigilance around nighttime waking. So, the starting point really is that screening with the GP that is going to get the necessary investigations for any physiological or psychiatric causes of tiredness going. One of the things that I do with patients is just a pie graph analysis of causes of my tiredness, because most often when an insomnia patient comes to see me, they're pretty much of the view that 99% of their tiredness is caused by their poor sleep, and they haven't even thought about other reasons for tiredness. And so part of that pie graph analysis is just looking at all the different slices that could be of causes of daytime tiredness, and if there's any medical reasons for that, any of those aforementioned physiological reasons that I was describing earlier, then it's important to have that in the mix so that the person isn't just entirely focused on getting more sleep and taking a sedative in order to get the semblance of more sleep when there's other important, potentially important physiological or medical reasons that need to be checked out first. So I suppose my main take-home message is really about helping patients to clarify that difference between being tired and being sleepy in order to get the appropriate investigations done.
When should a GP refer a patient for unresolved tiredness?
If there've been exhaustive investigations done for physiological reasons for tiredness and the obvious culprits investigated and any family history of particular physiological or medical issues investigated, then if there's, say, menopausal tiredness not helped by HRT and there's still a sleep-specific complaint without or with low mood, then one might consider sending the patient to a multidisciplinary sleep clinic to just get a more fine-grained investigation done of whether there's, you know, what might be going on in that sleep-specific complaint. So if it looks like insomnia is the major issue in the absence of any clearly explicable reasons for fatigue and tiredness, if it looks like the HRT, I'm just thinking in a menopausal patient, if the hormone replacement therapy is working somewhat, but the insomnia complaint is still primary or paramount there, and the person is very dissatisfied with their sleep, then one could, the GP could refer the patient for insomnia or OSA investigations and potential intervention at a sleep clinic. If there's chronic pain and maybe some like substance dependence because of that chronic pain that the GP is concerned about and it's related to sleep and sleep being disrupted by chronic pain, then that is something that potentially a clinical psychologist who specialises in sleep can help with. Who has an addictions background, treatment background. So I think the GP is really the starting point for this all, and because of the experience that GPs have in dealing with this multitude of physiological and psychological potential causes for tiredness, I don't think I have to understate, and GPs will know just how much of a process it is to, a process of elimination to try to work through these complaints. But quite often it may be that the patient only wants to get go down a specific pathway to get some help when the GP wants to investigate other causes because there might be something else that's really standing out to them or, as being important. And I think that's got to be the first port of call to have that thorough medical investigation done.
Thank you for your time here today in the PodMD studio. To sum up for us, could you please identify the three key take-home messages from today's podcast on Why Am I So Tired?
Okay, thanks for having me. And I'd say the three key messages would be, one, just being clear about the difference between tired versus sleepy and being and understanding that difference, even when patients can conflate the two, because it matters to clarify that with the patient in order that the necessary medical or psychiatric assessments are done if there's not straightforward causes for that tiredness and fatigue. So I think that's probably the key message, and that it is important to go through the range of necessary medical investigations and psychiatric investigations to just clarify that there isn't something that serious that really needs to be dealt with before a patient looks at getting, for example, a medication that might promote sleep because they think that the sleep is the tiredness. You know, the sleep loss is the direct or the only cause of the tiredness. So the second takeaway would be that the patient start the investigative process with their GP. The GP is the starting point, the hub for all of the appropriate referrals for investigations that will follow. And I suppose those are the two major take-home messages.
Thanks again for your time and the insights you've provided.